meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news. Broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We have a busy night ahead of us. We're trying to connect up with Robin Sachs, but right now on the line we have attorney Jeff Herman, and maybe we're doing a conference call, so maybe that is Robin.
Hey, it's Robin.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Jeff's on the line.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Robin.
I'll pick up the hands-free. Sorry, time escaped me as usual.
Okay, we're actually live on air, Robin. If you could speak up just a little bit for me.
Okay, here, let me get you in for... Here, how's that?
Okay, that's good. Now, let's start, and if you've been on the webpage, you'll see the in the show notes what's going on, talking about a lawsuit that has been filed in Naples, Florida, regarding a young girl who allegedly was sexually abused, a teacher, and we've covered many, many stories like this, and the school involved, and we thought we'd bring on Jeff Herman and Robin Sachs, attorneys for the family, to talk about this. Let's start with you, Jeff. If you could, give us a Reader's Digest of what's going on here.
Sure. This is a civil lawsuit that we filed last week against the Village School of Naples. And the lawsuit alleges that the fourth grade teacher there, Steve Noyes, allegedly sexually abused one of his students. And so we brought this as a civil case alleging negligence and something called vicarious liability, holding the school accountable, and also a battery and assault claim against the teacher directly.
Now, when you look at these stories and cases like this, and I've covered them for years, Robin has prosecuted these sorts of cases. You as a defense attorney, I'm sure, have been involved in cases like this for a long time. Let's backtrack a little bit, push the rewind button, Robin, and talk about the investigation. Was there a criminal investigation, and what happened with that?
There was a criminal investigation in this case, but in my estimation, it wasn't... a fruitful investigation, primarily because the suspect, Mr. Noyes, refused to participate in answering questions. As you know, Dana, how suspects tend to lawyer up, and the best, while they may have that constitutional right to be able to remain silent, it certainly does not allow for a thorough investigation. And the thing that was most interesting was last week when we were at this press conference, you know, his defense lawyer, who happens to have been there, being very defensive, of course, also made a point of saying, you know, this was a thorough investigation and we cooperated, yet right in black and white in the police report, it says we offered him a polygraph and he refused to take it, and he wasn't forthcoming. He did at one point agree to speak to the police, but that was way after the investigation was nearly completed, when they had already decided that they weren't going to file charges.
Attorney Jeff Herman and Robin Sachs are here. Are the parents going to join us tonight, Robin?
You know what? They were going to join us. They are unbelievably ill. As a matter of fact, when we had the press conference last week, announced the lawsuit, the little girl was sick and has since passed her germs along, as any good kid would do, to their parents, and everyone's been knocked on their butt.
Okay, Attorney Jeff Herman, let's go back again to the investigation. We've heard Robin Sachs tell us that there was the suspect in this case is not saying anything. Was there any corroborating evidence? Was there any physical evidence, forensics, etc.?
Well, what there was in this case, which is like a lot of cases, abuse of children, there's usually not eyewitnesses. But
right. What
we do know is that this school had basically given this teacher carte blanche to hug the kids, put his arm around the kids, put them on their laps, and what we allege that this was part of the grooming process. This girl, in my estimation, is an extremely credible witness, very articulate young girl, and was able to give a detailed description about the abuse. And so because of difficulties often in these in criminal cases, that's why the civil cases are so important. It's really
well, Dana, let me jump in here also to say that kind of credibility, it passed muster now with muster with two of us here, independently and separately. I was involved in the case, and independently and separately from my conversations, Mr. Herman did his own interviews. We both came to the exact same conclusion, and you just don't have a case where you have a, you know, someone right. as credible, a family as good, and the fact that this school is even insinuating that she's been untruthful is unfathomable, frankly.
Jeff Herman.
Yeah, and that's why the civil case becomes so important. For this family, one of the main reasons that they wanted to pursue litigation was really to protect other children. The best way to protect your only future is to expose predators and to hold institutions that will protect predators accountable. And that's a big motivation for this family.
Robin, we've heard stories, and you and I have covered stories on the show for years now, teachers gone bad, for lack of a better term. I'm saying that. What kind of cooperation have you had from the school board, et cetera?
Well, that is what, you know, makes me want to jump out of my seat, is how this school has behaved. Frankly, this family probably would not have ever contacted a single lawyer had the school not resorted to despicable practices, and that despicable practice was that after they made some sort of internal decision to allow Mr. Noyes to come back to school after being on leave, which if that was what they were going to do, that's one thing, but they brought the family in for a meeting, and the family's thinking, okay, we're going to have this meeting to discuss what next steps are and how to handle this, and let's work together, and the school seemingly had been very nice and understanding, turned around and actually told the family that their daughter was no longer welcome to the school and that they should find a new school. They told them this on a Thursday and expected for them to have a new school by Tuesday. And that was the insult to injury. And from there, we started making a lot of requests. They did under their own rights, and then I did as a lawyer, and then I know that Mr. Herman will continue it on through the legal process, but we all made attempts to try to get the notes from the school board, look at the internal investigation that happened, looked at his past record, and every single request not only came back unanswered, but it actually came back even hostile through their lawyers.
Jeff, when this case, again, is, I'm assuming the papers have been filed, what we do here, advocates, on this program, we also concern ourselves with the victim. What's being done to help the child and the child's parents?
Well, yeah, and that's a very important part of all these cases when children are abused. And the most important thing is to help the child and the family heal. And to do that is making sure the child is in therapy, which she is, also for the parents, because they're really victims here as well.
Right.
They're all going through the process of getting therapy and processing what happened. And the civil lawsuit, I think, is part of that healing process. It's very empowering for a victim when her family stands up for her and validates that what happened to her was wrong, which is exactly the opposite of what the school did here. You know, the school kicks her out and basically dismisses her. Brings the alleged perpetrator back in, that sends the wrong message to this little girl. And so what her family has done here, I think, is very brave, and really I applaud them for empowering the child the way they're doing.
Robin, was there any suspension for this teacher? Was he out for a bit and then just brought back, or was it always his side was taken and the little girl's wasn't?
So he was actually put on leave for about a month period of time, and we have our own suspicions as to the timing by which he was allowed to come back and the reasons behind that, that were independent reasons of any abuse or not finding or anything else. So he did have some time off, but it's very interesting because from what I gathered through the investigation is that while he had a the appearance of being off of school, he never really was off of school because, from what I've learned, he had been doing report cards during that period of time. He had been communicating with students via his personal email and other email accounts, and all of those actions have not gone with any sort of discipline or punishment, and that's not really being truly removed from the school. If you're allowing them to still, the teacher to still make academic decisions.
I was going to say, the other thing that's really troubling about that time period is that it's our understanding that this, the parents of the other children at the school were never notified about these allegations. And so you have these allegations, very serious allegations against a teacher, and the other parents don't even receive information that their kids may be exposed to a predator so that they can ask their kids about it.
That's right.
What about the criminal case itself? Is it closed now? Is there a chance that it may be reopened?
You know, Jamie, you and I both know, and basically, and I know this really well from my experience as a prosecutor, you know, a case that is not necessarily fileable in one moment can be fileable the next. This is not, just because something was not filed does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that the kid wasn't believed, that the allegations are untrue. The fact of the matter is, in a criminal case, the prosecutor has to prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt. And without, a very good amount of evidence, as you know, a prosecutor is not going to put someone through this. But there is a very long statute of limitations on sex crimes against children. And we, know from our experience that their perpetrators, such as Mr. Noyes, are very likely to reoffend. And if he is a perpetrator that we think he is, we're hopeful that other victims will come forward.
If you're just tuning in, Attorney Robin Sachs and Jeff Herman are here talking about a lawsuit that they filed regarding a teacher, Stephen Noyes, and a young female victim, allegedly sexually abused. This is going on in Naples, Florida. Mr. Herman, when you file your papers, I'm trying to be as layman as I can here. You take this to court. Civil case could take years to settle. You're going to the media, and I've put a link in the show notes for some of the media reports that have been out there. What is your ultimate goal in this case?
Well, the ultimate goal is to help the family heal, and they do that partly through this civil system by filing a lawsuit, by holding the school and the perpetrator accountable. Ultimately it's a civil case, and you can only sue for money damages. But for them, the victory is really validating what happened to their daughter, to her, and empowering her and holding them accountable. And that's the end of the day. That is what's going to make them heal, or help them heal, the beginning of it anyways.
Robin, how has the media looked at this? You've done a lot of work in the media. Are you getting coverage on this case?
We have gotten coverage, and actually, in fact, it's been largely in part of, Mr. Herman's efforts in terms of Flores. I'd love to take credit, but it's not. Was the efforts that we have had in the media thus far have come through the local media, but the purpose in going to the media is to make people aware. We're doing what the school did not do. We are sending that letter out to the world and to parents to let them know that if their school isn't going to send out and warn them about potential perpetrators, we will, and we are here to help them and support them. And we've gotten great response from people. I've personally received emails saying, thank you for covering this story, thank you for doing this. And we have a media strategy that I'm not going to reveal on your show right now, but this isn't a one-shot blast in the dark. This is going to be a continued effort because we believe that this issue is so important and children are so important that it needs constant coverage and constant reminder to parents that their kids could be abused and that they need to be aware of particular teachers like this.
Advocacy for children and victims is number one for sure, but another thing, and I've talked about it many times, Jeff, over the years with many different guests, is screening for teachers. It seems like the high profile case with the young blonde teacher and the teenage boy went through the media like wildfire, several different cases. Here we have allegedly a male teacher, young girl. Is this being looked at differently than the typical teacher type of sexual abuse reports that we've seen?
Well, it seems to me that this school is looking at it differently because they brought their teacher back. But unfortunately, what I see here, I see in a lot of cases, which is that red flags are ignored. Here, we know that according to the parents, when they reported it to the principal said, it's my fault. I should have never let him hug the kids like that. Mm. He's known as the hugger, the single man who has all the girls sitting on his lap and putting his arm around them, etc. I've had many cases where there are lots of red flags, and schools look the other way. And so it's similar in that respect. What's very troubling to me and to Robin is the fact that he's back at the school without ever notifying the other parents and without really doing a thorough investigation.
Robin, just before we finish up here, and I want to get a quick comment from you on something else before I let you go. Has there been a website set up? Where can people go to learn more about this case besides just listening to my show and the links that I've posted?
Well, for the moment, if people go to my website, robinsachs.com, we have a link to Ross Elliott, who writes for The Examiner, and I don't want to get the name of the organization that protects children, Cherish Our Children is what I believe it is. But that's one link that we have. We will be setting up a website and putting out information as time goes on an ongoing basis, and we'll hit you up to hopefully have you continue to cover the story. Because what people don't recognize is that a lot of people think, oh, we're sitting here saying to stop hugging. No, we're sitting here to say stop molesting. Stop grooming, and if you have a hugging issue at a school, that is a sign that there could be an issue. You know, that doesn't mean that it's you know, the end all mean all, but there is an issue that was a red flag, at least even for the principal of the school. And then we have an allegation of sexual assault, and this child did exactly what we would want any child to do, and that was she went home to her father and reported. And she should be praised and commended, and I'm just so proud of her family for standing up for her at a very difficult time.
Absolutely. Just before I let you go, Robin, quick thoughts on the opening arguments in the Anthony case today.
You know what, Dana, you're going to kill me, and you know, you would think, everyone asked me, oh, you were in Florida, did you do Casey Anthony? I did not listen to the opening statements yet today, so I can't weigh in. I apologize. I can tell you anything you want to know about Maria and Arnold, as I did that today.
You know what? You got to watch. Jeff and I were talking about
it. I'll give you the secret scoop that only you will know here, your listeners. Okay. My sources tell me that she's filing for divorce by the end of the week.
Wait, really? Are you going to handle her?
I'm not handling her. Laura Wasser's here handling her, and handling her well.
Listen, Jeff and Robin, both thank you. We'll stay in touch, and we'll keep on top of this case.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay,
that's Robin Sachs and attorney. Oop, I hit the wrong button here. And attorney Jeff Herman talking about this Naples, Florida case, and it's just unbelievable. I wanted to get a quick comment from Robin on the Anthony case, but we've got Diane Diamond coming up next, and then Blink tonight to talk about this craziness that's been going on with the. With the Anthony family, and it's going to be something else. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Stick around for more Scared Monkeys Radio with Dana Pretzer.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec?
Yeah, sure. Come on in.
Yeah, I was wondering if you... Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish this sales report, and then I'll probably, I don't know, let me lie down for a bit. But I'm sure it'll go away.
But the flames are getting bigger. Shouldn't I... Your hair, there's so much fire.
No, I'll be fine. What can I help you with? Oh, dear. Well, at least we know the sprinkler system works.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's Saturday. You and your wife take the boys to the mall, straight to the food court. Your wife and Pete head for tacos. You and Danny want Chinese. You look up at the menu for a few seconds. You look down to see what Danny wants. But you don't see Danny. Your eyes dart around frantically. You instinctively call out,
Danny!
Danny!
From the taco place, you hear a voice.
Hey! Dad! Change my mind!
Every parent knows that feeling when, even for a few seconds, you lose sight of your child. Imagine if he or she were actually abducted. Go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up for free Amber Alerts on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. You all know Diane Diamond as a longtime reporter, author, correspondent with Entertainment Tonight. And tonight, she's going to come on the show and talk about the craziness at the Casey Anthony trial. Diane, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Dana. Thanks for having me. Craziness, wow. It was one of the most emotional days I think I've ever spent in court, honestly.
You know, I interviewed Cindy Anthony two or three times on the program earlier on in the whole case of disappearance of Kaylee. Interviewed all the people involved. I actually spoke to George Anthony twice on the phone. He didn't want to come on air, but I spoke to him for 10 or 15 minutes, and at the time, if I could just share with the audience and you, my thoughts of George Anthony were a man who was broken down and beaten. He was just desperate to find his granddaughter. He was dominated by his wife, so to speak. He couldn't say a word without her telling him what to say. This was a guy that, you know, later on in the press had some emotional problems. Today, I found a whole new respect for George Anthony and a whole new lack of respect for Jose Baez. I think Jose Baez is absolutely nuts, and he blew his case in the opening arguments. Am I wrong?
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. And I have to tell you, in the beginning, I thought, Jose Baez is doing a better job than I expected. Remember, this is a guy who has not been a member of the bar for very long.
Right.
6 years, 7 years maybe. But as he told this story about how Casey had been molested by her father, very graphic stuff about how she had done sexual things with her father in the morning and then had to go to school and pretend everything was okay. It was very graphic stuff. And so she learned to live a lie, he said, so that when little Kaylee, this is his allegation, was found drowned in the family pool in the backyard, and George picked up her lifeless body and started to yell, "This is all your fault. Your mother, you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life. Your mother's going to be mad at you forever." Casey didn't know what to do, and I thought, well, that's an interesting sort of a defense, And then what happened, Jose? And that, Dana, is where I'm writing a piece for the Daily Beast right now. You called me. I was still working on it. That's where the narrative breaks down.
Right.
Okay, they're standing by the backyard pool. George has allegedly fished this lifeless body out of the pool. He's screaming at Casey. And then what happened? Well, the narrative stops. He doesn't say what happened. He doesn't say who put the tape on the child's mouth, who got rid of the body, where did the body go. He just says that the media reader, Ray Kronk, who reported he saw this skull three or four times to the police, who the police couldn't quite get it together to find it, we couldn't find the right spot, it's Ray Kronk's fault.
Yeah.
Ray Kronk, he said, hid the body for all these months so he could get the $250,000 reward. And I'm sitting there in the courtroom thinking, why would you hide a body for the reward? Because when you give the body up, you get the reward.
What?
It just didn't make any sense
no.
to me. That's where it broke down.
Yeah, absolutely. Diane Diamond's here, who's covering the Anthony case and actually in the courtroom watching the events as they play out. Now, looking at some of the television coverage of this case, they're showing some reaction from Casey Anthony. I understand she didn't want her parents in the courtroom. The judge allowed it as long as there was no outburst from them, any facial expressions, etc. I thought they did a pretty good job with what was going on. When George Anthony was testifying, and we've all seen the body language experts and the facial recognition people come on and say, this face means he's lying, this face means he isn't. What did your years of experience as a reporter, as an investigative reporter, or just as a mom tell you about George Anthony?
Well, I'll tell you, I thought he was very sincere. His chin started to quaver. He started to choke up when he talked about his granddaughter. When asked, did you molest your daughter? He got very solemn, and again the chin started to quaver, and he said, no, sir, I did not. And I tended to believe him, but I was sitting here at the hotel with somebody who is a veteran court watcher who said, you know, the one thing Jose Baez did was he established that this is a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
I said, really, how? Well, he established that George didn't know she was pregnant. He never asked who the father was. Didn't really get involved in where she was working, although he had a suspicion that she wasn't working, but didn't communicate. So, at the very least, I guess they had a non-communicative family. Well, you know, welcome to America.
Right.
We have lots of non-communicative families. That's really beside the point. The point is, who killed Casey Anthony? And even Jose Baez said, we're not saying it's George Anthony.
No, and I found that interesting. If you're just tuning in, Diane Diamond's here. She's reporting on this Anthony trial. I found that interesting, yet they are taking George Anthony and using him as an excuse for what's going on. If your defense is an accident, and please correct me if I'm wrong, if the defense says that the little girl drowned in the pool, and I can remember 2 years ago talking about that pool with several different guests on my show, yet claiming that Casey was sexually abused, allegedly at age 8, that Lee was tested to see if he could be the father of the child. The dysfunction is one thing, but the accident is another, and I think Jose Baez was juggling everything today, but he kept dropping the balls. That's just my thought.
That's a good analogy, Dana. That's a really good analogy. I may have to steal that from you.
Sure, yeah.
I agree. You know, he did, as my husband said to me tonight, he's also a journalist, he said, you know, it seemed like he was throwing so much spaghetti at the wall. Maybe a little bit of it stuck to the wall, but most of it landed with a thud. And that's your juggling balls analogy. He brought up a lot of things. George Anthony had a mistress. George Anthony picked up the dead body, but he never said where the body went. And then he put up a lot of straw dogs that were sort of beside the point. But remember, Dana, there's 20 people sitting in a jury box.
Yep.
Who have professed to not really know very much about this case, and they are overloaded today. I thought Linda Drane Burdick, who we've not talked a lot about, the state's prosecutor, was really, really, really good. Low-key, not dramatic, very factual, day by day. What was Casey doing? Is this what a mother would be doing when her child is missing? Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 30. So the jury has all that in their head. And then they hear this sort of spaghetti-throwing, ball-juggling thing from Jose Baez. Now, how in the world, what do they think now? I don't even pretend to know. Maybe they think there's reasonable doubt. Maybe they think, oh, my God, this is crazy. I just don't know. It'll be fascinating to watch.
One of the dumbest things that Baez brought up is the Kronk, the meter eater, having control of the body for 2 months or whatever it was. How does he think that he's going to get away with saying something like that? Ed, that's just nutty.
Well, if I'm Ray Kronk, I'm already getting a defense attorney an attorney to sue for, you know, false statements.
Oh,
because you're saying that I hid the body, that I planted the body in December so I could get the reward because my car broke down and I had a big car bill? Prove that. Oh. Are you crazy? You know, everything Kronk did, he may not be a stellar citizen, and I don't know either way. I've heard that he and his ex-wife had some problems, and, you know, who doesn't have an ex that they had some problems with? But he called August 11th and 12th from home. I saw this is where I saw it, and he never heard anything back. On the 13th, 11th, 12th, 13th, he shows up at the scene and he says, okay, I'm here as you suggested. I'll show you where it is. And the policeman who showed up wasn't very interested. There was water down there and snakes, and he didn't want to look. And so that was that, period. Kronk did not call again until December.
Right.
Where he said, okay, you know, my curiosity took over. I came back here, and the skull is still right here where I said it was. Now, how does Jose Baez get away with saying he took the remains and he hid them, and then he planted them in this place in December? What proof did he offer? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. And if I'm Kronk, I'm calling a lawyer right now.
It's going to be interesting, Diane Diamonds here, that when the prosecution gets their turn, and if they're going to, and I have no idea what their strategy is as far as prosecuting this case. I have some thoughts, but it's going to be interesting if they try to counter the George Anthony part of this, and I think that will be very easy to do in Casey's own words when you go back to the jailhouse videos and see George and Cindy talking to her and Casey with her own voice saying how great of a dad George was, how great of a grandpa George was, how and right. Cindy, and then all of a sudden now when she's on trial that he was a child abuser and he disposed of the baby's dead body. It's going to be very easy to counter, and I think that's where Baez made a big mistake today with this. And I understand it's opening argument, and this is going to go on for a long time. But how important, I guess my question to you is, will the evidence that we've seen be in this case like those jailhouse videos?
Oh, I think they'll be monumental. It was very telling in court today that both sides used audiovisual aids, and the state promised you'll hear the 911 calls. You will see this video and that video, and they didn't specifically mention what you're talking about, the jailhouse videos with her parents, but you know that's in their quiver, ready to be shot out as an arrow. Look, when I sit back at the end of today and I really analyze it, I see a very together state's case. Fact, 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 fact. This is what she did on this day, this day, this day, this day. We have audio, we have video, we have cell phone records to show exactly where she was. Fact, 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 fact. The defense, which under American law does not have to prove anything.
No.
Threw spaghetti at the wall, and I don't think they can prove much of that spaghetti.
Diane Diamonds here. I love this juggling and spaghetti and all this sort of stuff. But really, when it comes down to it, Diane, the big story here is Kaylee Anthony, the poor little girl. We've seen so much. We've heard so much about Casey and her carousing and the boyfriends and going out and bouncing checks all over the place and of course Zanny the nanny and Leonard Padilla and all this nutty stuff that's gone on. But really, when it comes down to this case is going to be based on forensic evidence and a good circumstantial case. It's not always a smoking gun that will convict someone. And I think now, and I'll admit I had my doubts, I think now, if anything, this is certainly going to be a death penalty case.
Oh, it is a death penalty case. And, there are a lot of people here in Florida, where I am now, who believe that she was overcharged. She's not Ted Bundy. She's not Charlie Manson. She's not going to get out of prison in 30 years and kill other people. She's not a serial killer. So they believe that she has been overcharged. But under Florida law, if you are a premeditated murderer who, in the state of the case here, the case of state rather, here they say that back in March of 2008, the child died in June of 2008. In March, her mother was online, or someone in the house, she was the only one home apparently, was searching sites that how to make weapons out of household products, how to break a neck, how to make chloroform, chloroform, alcohol, acetone, how to poison somebody. You know, that's premeditation, and that goes to first-degree murder, death penalty.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in Florida, there'll be a trial, and then there's a second phase where the jurors, same jurors, decide the fate. They may very well decide she doesn't deserve the death penalty, that she's sick and ill or, you know, whatever, and she may live the rest of her life in prison, or, you know what, Dana? She might be found not guilty.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah.
Have to see.
You never know. All we have to do is say the name O.J. Simpson, and anything's possible when it comes to these types of high-profile cases. Diane,
or Michael Jackson.
Or Michael
yeah.
Jackson.
Yeah.
That's another one.
Robert Blake,
yep.
Or, you know, there's a whole bunch of them.
We could go on and on for sure. Diane Diamond's here for the next 2 minutes. I want to give you the last word, Diane. Covering this case, we've heard a lot about George. We've heard a lot about Cindy. I'm going to ask you, has there been any mention of Lee? Is he in the courtroom? And what do you expect in the days and weeks to come?
Oh, that's a good question. No, Lee was not there today, although he was mentioned right after Jose Baez said that her father molested her, he said, and her brother touched her, leaving the clear implication that it was a sexual touching. You know, I have to tell you, I'm a hard-bitten kind of broad, you know. I'm a hard-bitten crime correspondent, but I got pretty teary today when I heard the prosecution say, she was dead right away. We
yeah.
know from her bones she laid in that field for months and months. And there were searchers out there that when they finally found her bones, they got down on their hands and their knees, and for 10 days they sifted out what they could to find what remained of Kaylee Marie Anthony so that she didn't have to spend eternity in a swamp. And I have to tell you, I got really sort of internally emotional about that. And so I think, to answer your question in a roundabout way, I think that much of the rest of this trial is going to be not emotional, but facts, facts, facts.
Yep.
Where was she then? What did she tell her friend? What does the cell phone tower say? Today was the day for emotion. And the rest of the time is going to be based on facts for the state's case. After that's over, then we go back to the defense and whatever spaghetti they have. If I can bring that analogy up again.
Sure you can. Diane, always a pleasure, and I hope to talk to you soon more about this case. Thank you, Diane Diamond.
Anytime, Dana. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's ET correspondent, crime reporter, journalist. She's been around for a long time, covered O.J., covered Michael Jackson, Robert Blake, you name it, and now covering the Anthony case. We're going to take a quick break here on Scared Monkeys Radio and come back with the goddess of all crime blogs, Blink, from blinkoncrime.com, to get her take on what's been going on in the Casey Anthony trial. I'm sure she has lots to talk about. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. You all know Blink from blinkoncrime.com, someone who's been covering this story for a number of years. She and I have done many shows about it. And to come on and talk about the boring day in court today, I thought I would bring Blinkster back. So quite kind of a quiet day there today, Blink.
Jeez. I don't even know how I'm still awake, Dana.
Oh, my. Isn't that something? You know, and I said this to Diane Diamond. I remember vividly talking to George Anthony on the phone a couple of times, 10, 15 minutes call. And we've analyzed George Anthony to the umpteenth degree here on this program. I found George Anthony when the first time I talked to him on the phone as a broken, beaten man, someone who was desperate, someone who I'm not sure was totally convinced his daughter was innocent, but he was wanting to find his granddaughter and do anything that he could to find her. He obviously had some emotional problems. We heard about that. And this whole thing today brought a whole new respect for me for George Anthony. And I think Jose Baez, like I told Diane Diamond, was juggling his defense today, and basically he dropped every bloody ball he was holding.
I think that, and as I sent you, I said JoJo showed up in court today, and George Anthony went from zero to hero in my book.
Yep.
And it doesn't make him a stellar citizen,
no.
Because I think that he has not... I think he's a flawed individual, like we all are.
Yep.
You know, in different varying degrees, of course. But I do think, and I have always thought, that he loves his granddaughter Kaylee very, very much. And I don't think for a second that anybody bought the rhetoric that was presented today. But I also, I've been telling you this for years. He was going under the bus, and there was some discrepancy as to whether or not he would go willingly. But as we saw, and you and I spoke last week, and you asked me, who do you think is going to be the biggest witness for the state?
Yep.
And the defense, he was both of mine, and I still say that. I think today proved true. I think he is. I think he is the embodiment of the problems in that house. I agreed with Mr. Baez, who, you know, do you remember being a kid and getting in trouble, and then you told your parents your reason, and you thought you got away with it, and then you overtalked?
Yep.
And then you got grounded anyway,
yep.
Or punished in some fashion.
Yep.
I swear to you, that's what I heard today. In the first, I'll say, 47 minutes of, not obsessed, right, of his opening, I thought, concern. I thought, yes, he's going to do what I think he's going to do, but he's delivering really well. And then, oh my God. It was a mess.
Yeah.
It was, and then there's Kronk, who, you know, through some aberration, comes upon Kaylee's chains for months for the virtue of a reward, even though it's not offered, and he does call the police.
Yep.
From some way, and it was just embarrassing from a legal perspective.
I think we use the term when we talk about the calls to 911 or whoever from Kronk. I can't remember if it was you or the guest or someone was the guest, and we used the term maybe some lazy police work, kind of brushing it off initially, and I think that's about all that will go. But to
well, it was. Deputy Kane, Richard Kane, was fired.
Yep.
As a result.
And he
should have been. Because it was very sloppy. But, you know, even in today's opening with Jose Baez, he missed about six witnesses, literally, that happened upon that area that never saw a bag.
Yeah.
It was like a pointed and, I'm going to say, mission-based offering in terms of his open, and then it just went cattywampus. And you can quote me on that. Is that a Jersey word, Dana?
That's a Jersey word. I don't, you know, I'm beyond words. I, the little bit that I watched today and then caught up after, I think it'll be so simple if the prosecution decides to focus on addressing the George Anthony claims, just to show some of that jailhouse video, like I was telling Diane Diamond to show Casey saying how great George was and how great Cindy was. Obviously, they raised a pathological they raised a pathological liar, and there's some dysfunction in the home. But I think this case, I'm sure. This case will be more about, you know, like Jack Webb used to say, just the facts. And they'll get into the forensics, the duct tape, the sniff test in the car, all that stuff, the damn dead body, as Cindy Anthony would say. But Baez just seemed to, I don't know if he was more interested in the cameras running on him today or what it was. But I want to ask you, Blank, your thoughts on Casey Anthony and her shaking her head for this and saying that for that, and crying on cue. She's actually getting better at doing that now. What about the reaction from Casey Anthony while George was testifying?
Well, backing up just a second, when you mentioned that, Jose, you weren't sure if he was playing for the cameras. I don't know if he's playing for the cameras, Dana, but he's definitely, if I can choose an American Idol Randy slang, he's in it to win it. That's what this is about for him.
Yes.
He wants to win. And unfortunately, winning, in his mind, is an acquittal or a mistrial for his client. And that, as we saw today, mistrial be, but an acquittal is never going to happen in this case. It's just not. At the end of the day, you can have a dysfunctional family. We've all got dysfunction in our backgrounds. It's not new or novel. And this will be a forensic case in the way that you'll have experts combating data back and forth. But you very much saw this today. Linda Burdick actually laid out their case, not in a specific way, because if you're a juror, you're not privy to this information beforehand. But for those of us that have followed the case, we know it like the back of our hand. And a little bit, I was thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm not really sure about why she's going on in detail about X, Y, and Z. And then at the end, I thought, brilliant. Brilliant. Because she went through 31 days. She went through 31-plus opportunities Casey Anthony had to seek her child. And moreover, what I think is huge is that there was nothing, there's something on the behalf of the juror that's going to want to know why she didn't. And you don't get to say, well, she died accidentally, and let's throw that out there. That happened today. The defense said she died in the pool, accidental drowning. George had her in her arms. Casey came around, you know, the outside of the house. You know, they had an exchange. But you know what they didn't do? They never said what next.
Yeah.
And you can't think that, you know, these reasonable peers of Casey's are going to be okay with a partial explanation as to why this baby died in an accident and nobody should be accountable. Plus, she had duct tape, three separate strips, across her aperture and her mouth, and ended up in a swamp. Partially, had an interaction with carnivore activity. It's a really ugly mess situation, and to think that you're going to go in there and say, it's nice and clean. This happens all the time.
Right.
This accidental drowning. You know what? A 34-month-old in a home does not just drown accidentally without in an above-ground pool, by the way. This child has to get outside by two doors, has to climb up a ladder that allegedly was never kept, per Cindy Anthony's testimony, in a position where she could access it, get in it, and drown.
Yeah, it's
outside of, you know, involvement from her grandfather, her JoJo, and her mother.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It's absolutely ridiculous. Blink from blinkoncrime.com is here, and we're catching up on what's been going on in the Anthony case. And at the end of the show, I'll take your calls briefly to get your thoughts on the first day. But Blink, when you look at this case, and it's going to go on for a long time. I don't see it ending with a plea deal. I think that everyone's in it now. I think Jose Baez has stepped in the proverbial crap hole with both feet now, and he's going to have to put up or shut up. But it's going to be interesting now how much they continue to focus on George Anthony and this alleged sexual abuse when she was eight, Lee Anthony and his alleged sexual abuse, and really try and tie that into any sort of defense when it comes to this, because in one word there, one breath, they're saying that their client had nothing to do with this. The child was already dead. It was George that took the child, and the meter reader held on to the child so he could get the reward money to get his car fixed or something dopey like that. But really, how much will the defense focus on George Anthony? Is this their whole trump card, for lack of a better term?
Well, they can't, and I'll tell you why. Their opening arguments is not evidence.
under the Florida Supreme Court. So in a sense, if you can envision being able to pretty much say what you want in terms of an opening argument, they had a lot of latitude. When you go into specific allegations, which are potentially criminal, and this would not be based on, and you know, Jose Paez did his research at least once, because if you listen to what he said in terms of her ages, they exceed the statute of limitations for those crimes. So there you go. But moreover, what you can't do is you can't use hearsay in this trial. You can't use, you know, somebody that has talked to Casey and says, oh, well, she told me she was abused, this, that, and the other thing. It's hearsay. It happened from the person. If she is to, let's, you know, I don't know, pretend this is a fairy tale and succeed in such a defense that she mounted. And by the way, she owns it. This was the opening statement. This is their case. The jury walked away, did not take any notes. They are expecting for the defense to back up what they said.
Right.
Period. This is the foundation of how they move forward in processing their information. And what they didn't get was any facts or corroboration to support what was said today. There's not much, you know, in intellectual folks, and I think our jury does, you know, apply to that or subscribe to that. You can't just say, there's a dead baby, here's why, and I don't have to tell you the rest. It's just not real. You know, to get away with such a defense, Casey Anthony is going to have to take the stand, and she never will. She can't. There's so much to cross-examine her on. There is so many minefields that she would step in. It would be, you know, suicide for this defense. I say that, Dana, and I've seen them make horrific mistakes. For instance, Jose Baez, as I told you, I thought he did a great job in the beginning. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's so underqualified for this representation. And I don't know what that was about. I don't know if it was about reading the jury, you know, the feedback, or the lack of his, you know, relationship with them, or not. But the whole thing today went from a case where, just saying from the public perspective, where it was an actual game, if you will, a championship game, to a, you know, the Sandlot, to a, it's a mess.
Yeah.
I don't see how she's getting out of this. And I don't say that like I care. What I care about is Kaylee.
Yep.
And the takeaways for the people that have invested themselves and their compassion in a case like this. I care about the John Allens, the Yuri Melichs, the Linda Drane Burdicks, the Jeff Ashens, the Frank Georges, the Nick Savages, the Scott Bowens. I care about law enforcement and investigators and forensic professionals that live this case for 3 years. And they do. Don't mistake that they have a whole other caseload. The pressure to function in a prosecution of this case is tenfold in addition to their other caseloads. And it changes their life and it changes their careers. And I have to think that the takeaways for this, for folks like that, should be, you did a fantastic job. It can't be about some, you know, third-year law guy that makes $300,000 on a case where he was just a public defender at some point. And guess what? He's winning. I just don't, I don't think that can be.
It's going to be interesting for sure, and credibility will be so big in this case. Putting Casey Anthony on the stand, she has proven that she is about as credible as a fart in a windstorm, and it just ain't going to happen unless he is totally insane and he's going to try and sue her even more. Blink, I will give you the last word, and we will catch up again next show and find out what more has been happening, because this is going to get even better.
God. Well, Dana, I would say that we just have to keep on the back burner that Casey is in charge of her own defense.
Yep.
So it may be entirely possible that she decides that she wants to talk.
Yeah.
You know, outside of her attorney's advice. I don't think that that will happen. But honestly, watching her today, I think you had asked me earlier about her shaking her head and her mannerism and things along those. In a situation where her own dad and George has been extremely animated, and walking into this trial, I was very concerned about, actually I thought what would happen would be the defense would kind of torque him up. You know, see everybody, see what he's capable of.
Sure, yep.
And he was so level today. I had an early feeling like, hey, this is going to be okay.
Yep.
And it was. I don't think we're going to be able to say the same about Casey Anthony. She is absolutely a walking emoticon, if you will. She doesn't believe that there's a chance that she's going to spend the rest of her life in prison or die or be put to death under this system. She has an absolute faith that whatever they're planning is going to work. I saw her disassociate today. I saw her compartmentalized. And she doesn't have a mental defense, Dana. But this girl is a severe narcissist. I don't believe she knows what's going on to the extent that it affects her. And I think this is going to end the way we've always said.
I agree. And some would say she's her mother's daughter. Blink, I will let you go, and we'll catch up on the next show and find out what more has been going on with the Casey Anthony case. Blink's website, blinkoncrime.com. Thank you, ma'am.
Great job, Dana. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Blink from Blink on Crime. Now it's your turn. We'll do like we did last show, a quick call, no more than 20 seconds. Has your mind changed now when you hear the explanation from Jose Baez as to why Kaylee Anthony died? Do you believe it? Is this an explanation in an opening argument that will ultimately find Casey Anthony acquitted of all charges? Is George Anthony at fault? You tell me real quick. 1-306-842-7884. Have you changed your mind about this case after what you've heard today? 1-306-842-7884. I won't keep you on the line long. We've only got about 3 minutes to take a few calls. I'm curious if anything has changed in your mind since the last show. So once again, 1-306-842-7884. Only call if you're listening to the show live. Don't call if you're listening to the podcast, because I won't answer. We only take calls during the live portion of the show. So it will be interesting to see if Jose Baez's opening argument has actually convinced you that things are different than what the state is saying. And do you think that any jurors bought into it, or did Jose Baez blow this case wide open in the wrong way? 1-306-842-7884, and let me know what you think. And what we'll do here on Scared Monkeys is we'll continue covering the trial the best we can, week by week. We'll get the people that are in the courtroom to call in and testify on air to me what they think is going on. I think Jose Baez blew it big time this go around, and just an opening argument. Some people say, what are you, nuts? But I think that opening argument, now he has to back up everything that he said in that opening argument, and it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. So again, we got a couple of minutes if you want to call in. If you don't, I understand, because we are not toll free here, but I won't keep you on the air long. 1-306-842-7884. Has your mind changed after what you saw today and what you heard today? I don't think many people's minds have changed. When you see this, and I was surprised that the judge actually let George and Cindy stay in the courtroom for this, and although he admonished them, telling them that there'll be no distractions, no facial expressions, nothing like that to cause problems, to sway the jury, so to speak, and how George Anthony was able to sit there and listen to all of that and not react as most people would normally react is beyond me. So it's it's going to be very interesting to see. So we've got again a couple of minutes. If you want to call in, doesn't look like anybody does want to call in. I always say that, and then the calls come in. So we'll take a quick one and see what you have to say. Is there any chance that after Jose Baez did what he did today, that your mind has changed about Casey Anthony's guilt or innocence?
What do you think, Dana?
I think that you're still trying to figure out the whole screen door thing from the last show, and I can't comment on that any further.
Man, I have to agree with what Blake was saying. This, oh man, Baez just had diarrhea of the mouth up there. And he literally, in the sales world, he literally talked himself in and out of a sale, and he wouldn't stop. And he, oh man, I don't even know where to begin, because he kept basically asking George question after question, and the prosecution basically kept having to object. Every one of them got sustained, because at one point, I don't even think he knew how to ask the question.
Yeah.
Because there was a scope of what he based. He could only go off of what the prosecution put out there. And it got ridiculous. I mean, at one point, he asked George something that had to do with his opening statement. and the judge, and Judge Barry was like, that's not evidence.
Yeah.
You can't ask the juror, or you can't ask the person a question about your opening statement.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dana.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting these weeks as they go on, months, whatever, to see this. Now, of course, this is Red from Scared Monkeys. When you see this trial, and you've covered them all at ScaredMonkeys.com and all the high-profile cases, do you see this one now after even the first day and seeing any types of bombshells coming from the defense that will make everybody sit back and say, oh, well, maybe she didn't do it? I don't see that now. I think she's sunk.
I mean, will there be bombshells? I mean, basically, Baez has shown that he's willing to throw anything out there.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's considered credible or not, I mean, obviously, you know, it was stated by both Diane Diamond and Blink earlier, you know, he brought the story to a certain point, and then it just fell off a cliff. And, you know, this is from a jury pool that came, was watching through the prosecution's opening statements, and they were, as everyone was saying, just completely riveted to the story.
Right.
And they were brought through a complete play-by-play chronology of the entire thing, and I thought the same thing Blink said. I was like, wow, why is she doing this? And then I thought, well, of course she has to do this. These people aren't supposed to be knowledgeable of the story, of everything that's gone on. And the only thing I could think of, and I said it during pretrial when they were doing the jury selections, that not one person ever said they thought that Casey Anthony was innocent.
Right.
Now, a lot of them had come to conclusions. They thought she was guilty. The judge said, can you put that aside, and can you judge her fairly? They said yes. Some of them got on the jury. Some of them did not. Now, what do those same jurors do when they are provided with so much information that they never knew about, so much evidence that they never knew about, that all points towards one person, and all they have on the other side is Baez coming out with these outlandish accusations? Yeah, I mean, I personally think, I think they've been sunk for some time.
Yeah.
And it kind of stuns me that after 3 years, nearly 3 years, this is all they got. And when you have no defense, this is all you got. And no, Baez is not savvy enough to pull this off. He is no as much as some of the pundits want to throw out the names like Johnny Cochran, please. I was really not a fan of Johnny Cochran, but don't insult the man. He is, I mean, Baez is weighing over his head, and I think a lot of that's going to come to fruition, because I think from time to time you're going to see the judge kind of get annoyed at the defense team, because it's like they're, I don't know, there are times that it doesn't even seem like he knows the rules.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting, and we all remember, and I'll let you go in a second, Red, Johnny Cochran saying, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. In this case, I think if Baez tried a toucan in front of the jury, they would be able to say, it doesn't fit, you must be a twit. So,
it's just crazy. I mean, I think, though, when push comes to shove, I really think that the state did a phenomenal job of putting Kaylee Anthony in that courtroom at that prosecutor's table. And that is something that the defense has not wanted for the longest time. They have tried to joke around and do levity during jury selection, pretend like they're your friend. I think there were a lot of jurors today that were listening to what took place, and I think they were shocked. I really do. And a lot of us don't. You know, a lot of those people that were on the jury said they didn't want to judge, said they could do this, said they could do that. But we all have common sense and we all have a conscience. At least most of us do, unless your name is Kaylee Anthony. But I really, truly believe, Dana, that I think their heads were spinning after today, and were like, oh, dear God. I have to come back to it all the time, that this case is truly about finding justice for a little girl named Kaylee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. Thanks, Red.
Thank you, Dana. Take care. You're doing a great job. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye. That's Red from ScaredMonkeys.com. We've got 2 minutes, enough time for one more call, 1-306-842-7884. Anything said today change your mind when it comes to this trial? Or did Jose Baez, like Diane Diamond said, throw the spaghetti against the wall and nothing stick? Or, like I said, drop all the balls when it comes to the defense? Very early, obviously, an opening statement is not the whole case. I'm sure they're going to put on some sort of defense, but this was a wow moment where we sat back and heard him speak today, I don't know. I was amazed, for lack of a better term. 1-306-842-7884. If you want to sneak in one quick call, we've got 1 minute left. I can take your call and let me know what you think. What we will do here at Scared Monkeys Radio is continue covering the case. We'll bring in people from the courtroom that were actually there, people that have been involved in the investigation, people that have covered this story for the last almost 3 years. It will be interesting to see what happens from the perspective of those that have been there, that have been involved. And, these defense lawyers need to sit back and read forums like Scared Monkeys, because we were talking about this kind of stuff a long time ago. There's a bunch of pretenders out there that seem to think that they are doing what the main networks haven't been doing, but then there's the real deal, and that's what we are here at Scared Monkeys. So, anyway, thanks to my guests tonight. Thanks to you for listening, and we'll see you again real soon here on Scared Monkeys Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of ScaredMonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.